That's why I say this. Bearing godly fruit is the evidence that God is at work in our lives. A lack of that fruit proves that God is not at work in our life.
Welcome to Er Jaron. This broadcast is produced by Global Radio Ministries and Jaron Ministries International. The teaching series we are in is the New Testament book of Colossians.
Today's message is titled, The Marks of the Mature Christian, Part 2. Continue.
Colossians 1:9-10. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
What does living as a mature Christian look like? Welcome back to our study of Colossians, in which Dr. Jim Cece is examining Paul's pastoral prayer, in Colossians 1:9-14. Dr. Cece is describing 9 marks of the mature Christian found in this prayer. Last week, we began looking at the third mark, a pleasing life. A life that delights God by doing anything He calls us to do, when He calls us to do it. Today, we'll examine the fourth mark of the mature Christian, living a fruitful life, that never stops serving the King of Kings. But first, Dr. Cece continues his discussion of what it means to please God. Here's Dr. Cece.
And that brings us back to Colossians, because in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I want you to please Him in all respects. Now, who can do that? All respects means all respects. What does that mean? It means in everything. Whoa, that's a pretty high standard. Well, let me begin with who can't do that and who can't please Him in any respect, and that's unbelievers who are completely incapable of pleasing the Lord. And I know that bothers some of you, because some of you still have that work system deep in your brain, even if it's not in your heart. And what you think that somehow God is up in heaven and He's just measuring the works of people and saying, oh, you know what, you're a pretty good fellow, you're in. Oh, no, you're not, you're out. Now, there's true that the Bible says is that unbelievers will be measured, they'll be judged by their works. Their level of punishment will be doled out by a holy God at that great white throne judgment according to their works. There's no question, but their salvation is only by God's grace, for it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to God's mercy and His mercy alone, Titus 3:5, that you are saved. It is a gift of God, Ephesians 2:8-9. Listen to me. Romans 8:8 says, but those who are in the flesh cannot, they don't have the power to please God. Take it up with God. They don't have the power. Their righteousness is as filthy rags. Even their attempts at pleasing God becomes a dirty diaper in the nostrils of a holy God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. What does impossible mean? It means it's not possible. It means that first it begins with faith in Christ, that first step to pleasing God. It comes by God's grace, and then it's walking by faith in a continuous process. So let me talk to you believers. You who are already pleasing to God, and tell you this, that people bent on pleasing men rather than God cannot please the Lord, even believers. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, for am I seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Here in Colossians, we'll get to this later, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, he's going to talk about slaves as workers who have to have an attitude that you don't exist even as a slave to please men, because it's the Lord God whom you serve. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he encourages even those who speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Listen to me carefully. If you are a people bender, if you bend at every whim because you want to be popular, you want to be cool, or you're just so attracted to being right in people's eyes, and you refuse to say no to people, you refuse to stand alone, you're unwilling to confront sin, you bend at every wish of those around you, you're so afraid to be rejected by men that you end up pleasing men instead of God, fine, you made your choice, but you know what? You'll be stunting your God-pleasing growth in Christ. We all struggle with this. There's a whole sermon there. Just as people bent on pleasing others cannot please God, so listen to this, people entangled in the affairs of life cannot please God. Oh, the Apostle Paul said it so clearly in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. He said, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. The word is only used once in the New Testament. Empleko is the Greek. It pictures a soldier that's knee-deep in the muck and the mire. But the word pleko, from which it comes from, the root word, is the same word of when the soldiers weaved the thorns and pounded into Jesus' head. The crown of thorns. The braiding that had to occur. And some of us have been embraided, entangled in the affairs of everyday life. And it has become true thorns in the flesh for us. And we can't get out. Maybe some of us are so in debt. Maybe some of us are so entangled. Some of us are so distracted. The tyranny of the urgent. Listen to me carefully. A pleasing life is one that delights God by doing anything He calls us to do when He calls us to do it. Everybody say when. It's not just a willingness to obey, but an availability to obey. Some of us aren't available. I'm not talking about hardworking people that have to earn all kinds of income. And so I'm talking about entanglements. And I can't measure your entanglements. I'm not going to stand up here. I am too short to play Holy Spirit. It's not my job. And if this is not practical for you, I can't make it practical for you. How am I supposed to do that? Because your life is different than her life. It's different from his life. It's your job to get on your face and say, how does that work for us? Where am I entangled? Don't think for a minute the Holy Spirit won't reveal it. You're just going to run from it. Because that's what we do. And listen to me carefully. The when is important. Every parent knows that postponed obedience is really a form of disobedience. You tell your children, clean your room. Week later, it's not clean. You walk in and say, why is it not clean? You said, I was going to get to it. And you ground them for life. Why? Because postponed obedience is really a form of disobedience. You know? It's like saying to an officer, I was going to slow down eventually. I was going to get off the phone eventually. I was going to pay back that thing that I stole eventually. Don't miss this. The when is as important as the what. Now, I say that to you to ask you a very important question. Is it all worth it? Seems like a boring life, doesn't it? Pleasing God. It can rather. I mean, listen, if I was speaking to a group of college kids, they'd be going, oh, God, thanks a lot. They got choices here. Be popular. Do that, you know, do things that please me, that feels good. You only go around once in life. Got to grab all the gusto you can. Or pleasing God. Well, let me give you some of the results. Let me have you understand this. Why? Because there are some tremendous results when we seek to please the Lord. We just have forgotten to look at them because we live in this existential moment. We live for the moment. All I know is that it feels good now. Forget about the consequences. This existentialism that is destroying our youth, that's destroying our young families, that's even destroying the generation. I love what Winston Churchill said. He said, however beautiful the strategy, you should occasionally look at the results. Keep your eye on the why. Result number one for pleasing the Lord is that we have added protection against the captivity of sin. Solomon addressed that. He gave an illustration of that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26, as he's talking about immorality. And he said this, he said, one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, speaking now of the adulteress, but the sinner will be captured by her. If you don't have a life of obedience in one area, don't think for a minute you won't fall in another. You think for a minute, it's just, you know what, you know, I'm being really obedient in this area, and therefore I will never fall. You know, listen, let me tell you, Satan is subtle, he's crafty, and he's a lion seeking someone to devour. And when you live the disobedient life or postponed obedient life, let me tell you right now, you are susceptible to the attacks, and don't think for a minute he's going to wear a flag saying, hey, I'm coming at you. In this case, it was immorality, it can be any sin. Result number two is you experience peace from those who hate you or who would do you harm. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Wouldn't that be nice? In other words, God says, listen, when your life pleases me, I'll orchestrate your history a little bit. Now, sometimes he wants us to suffer, and that's okay too. But other times he'll take people that want you to suffer, and he'll quiet them down. And that's really good too, isn't it? You're awfully quiet. How many of you like pain? Result number three is we experience a fuller measure of God's blessing. Numbers 14:8, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And that's certainly not a promise to us, but to Israel, but certainly the principle applies. Jeremiah 27:5, I have made the earth, the man and the beast which are on the face of the earth by my great power and my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. But then result number four is we experience a fruitful life. And that brings us back to Colossians 1:9. Distinguishing mark number four, we can cover this pretty quickly. A fruitful life that never stops working and serving the King of Kings. Look at it in verse 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Why? To please him in all respects. Why? Bearing fruit in every good work. See the flow there? See this golden marks of maturity all linked together? That when you're filled with the knowledge of his will, then you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. When you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, you'll please him in all respects. When you please him in all respects with the obedient life, guess what'll happen? You'll bear fruit, watch this, in every good work. How many of you saw the 1981 movie, The Chosen? It's really a very interesting movie and well worth your watching, and it's about a young Hasidic Jew in New York City, the Hasidim, who were isolated from the rest of culture, who were orthodox in every way, down to the wearing of this and the wearing of the phylacteries. And it's quite an interesting movie if you want to learn a little bit about Orthodox Jewish history and so forth, at least in recent years. But the idea of the movie was really profound to me because it reminded me once again that you and I are citizens of heaven, that we're aliens, we're strangers, that you and I were called, were chosen to be different. But not just to be different, because you're different regardless of how you're walking in the Lord. But not only called to be different, but also called to bear fruit because of that difference. We were chosen by God to lead fruitful lives. That's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear what? More fruit. Verse 4. Me and I and you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, By this is my Father glorified, that you do what? That you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and do what? Sit around and collect all the bennies till you get to heaven. Is that what it says? So you go and bear fruit. Everybody say bear fruit. And watch this now. And that your fruit should remain even after you're dead. Oh, we were chosen to bear fruit. I want to tell you what happened to me. It really came alive for me in the reading of Romans chapter 7. Verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you who also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Verse 5, for while we were in the flesh, while we were unbelievers, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. I want to tell you what happened to me. I've mentioned this many times before that, you know, my cousin was Al Capone, and I had the privilege of going back to Chicago and to teach leaders at Awana conferences and a number of the Awana missionaries at Awana headquarters. Then I went down to Peoria, stayed in the same hotel where Capone had his headquarters there at the Marquette Hotel there. I traveled all over. I saw the warehouses. I was teaching leadership conferences in churches all over Chicagoland. And what a profound difference. I had a lady come up to me and say, your cousin killed my uncle. It was just a horrible time, but a phenomenal time for me. But I kept thinking to myself, you know what? Here I am bearing fruit for God in the very place where he is bearing fruit for death. But you know what, folks? It's so it is with you. You're undoing the generations of sin in your life. You're bearing fruit for God. And it doesn't take a majority of you to dispel the darkness in your generations. Doesn't take a majority of salt to season a stew, right? Doesn't take a majority of light to dispel darkness. You are the salt. You are the light in this generation. And that's the idea of this. When you please God, you bear fruit that lasts. Fruit for God rather than fruit for death. That's why I say this, bearing godly fruit is the evidence that God is at work in our lives. A lack of that fruit proves that God is not at work in our lives. That's what Jesus said. Don't miss Matthew 3:8 when he said bringing forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Later on in Matthew 7 that you'll know them by their fruits. Later on, every good tree bears good fruit and the bad tree bears bad fruit. And you keep bearing fruit. And let me tell you right now, you do it even until old age. We exist to lead fruitful lives. How many of you are over 50? Raise your hand. I'm going to give you some good news and some bad news. I don't know which one is which. Let me just give it to you. Statistically speaking, in a world with now 7 billion people, you are old. Settle it and relax. And take the mantle. You're old. And by the way, if you have more than 2 pair of shoes and 2 shirts and 2 pair of pants, you're rich. Fabulously rich on the world standards. Settle it and deal with it. But few things are sadder than an older believer who has stopped bearing fruit, who's sitting around waiting for death or a fate worse than death called retirement. So that you can golf, hit a little ball into a hole and have a good day. Or in my case, pull them out of the water. Or garden? Or fix cars? As your life goal for the next chapter? Yuck! Oh, the ancient Greeks saw old people as a burden to the soil, but God calls us to be ripe old fruit trees. Calls us to be the choice fruit of the soil, not a burden. Psalm 92:14, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. I want my kids and my grandkids to say, you know what, Pa? You know what, Dad? You're a sappy old man. And I really want to be. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. As opposed to Jude 1, or really there's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude 12, where it talks about this, watch this, unbelievers who are autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Doubly dead. How do you get doubly dead? I want to tell you how. When you sit around and not bear fruit, and you look like an old fruit tree, and nothing shows, you're not just dead. You're doubly dead. But a godly older believer has braved the elements, fought the disease, faced life's droughts and storms, now capable of bearing quality fruit, and so much so. Listen, I'm going to be 62 in May. I didn't think I'd make it to 50. And here I am with another dozen years of my life, and I've never been busier, never felt more alive, never been more productive, and I'm not done. I'm not done. And I approach these last decades of my life, I get this sense of Paul's plea now in Philippians 1:22, that if I am to live on in the flesh here on earth, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I don't want to be remembered for living long, but for a fruitful and long life. Why? Because it's so worth it. Quickly. Benefits for living a fruitful life. Number one, a fruitful life is a successful life, as God defines success. Psalm 1, remember it? Blessed is the man, happy, Makarios aner in the Septuagint version. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Then in verse 3 it says this, listen to this, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Isaiah 3, verse 10, say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Let me talk to the righteous. When you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, the results and fruit, it'll go well with you. It'll go well with you. Result number two, that a fruitful life is a powerful life, even more powerful than the things that threaten to defeat us. Very quickly, Psalm 105, verse 24, and he caused his people to be very fruitful and made them stronger than their adversaries. Fruitfulness is strength, even as your body weakens. Oh, result number three, a fruitful life results in other fruitful lives. Listen carefully. A pleasing life, an obedient life, is a fruitful life, and it's a contagious life. And that's what it was saying in Matthew 13, 23, as he speaks of the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Listen, if the Lord tarries, your fruit will remain. Even when you're dead and gone and your great-great-great-grandkids don't know your name and may not even care, they will feel the effects of your life if you start today. Imagine. But I got to tell you, it's not going to happen automatically. You want to be a generation changer? I bet you could stand up with a microphone and talk about some real evil in your history, maybe your own personal history. Maybe your family's history, maybe the generations that precede you. Maybe some of you are first-generation Christians. Maybe some of you are second- or third-generation Christians. But I'll bet you that few of us are 10th or 20th-generation Christians. There's stuff in the past, and I'm not responsible for my ancestors. I am, on the other hand, able to affect my descendants. You make a choice today. I make a choice today. And we can choose a life marked by disobedience. A heart that's tattooed, if you will, that shrivels up and dies and at best bears rotten fruit because it's marked by rebellion. It's marked by, no, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and maybe a little dabbling of obedience just enough to have people convinced I'm a Christian or to keep God off my back. Or you can choose today a life marked by pleasing the Lord, that delights God by doing anything he calls us to do when he calls us to do it and without hesitancy. And in so doing, we can choose a fruitful life that never stops working, never stops serving the King of Kings, and enjoys its benefit. Let me summarize this whole message. It was a long one. But I'll tell you what, you can choose today to live a life that is full and fertile or empty and futile, and the choice is ours to make. And if you think you just make it in one moment in a church service, and then it's just going to happen. This is an hour-by-hour, moment-by-moment decision that you and I will make until that day when the decision is made for us, when the last breath leaves our body and we're with the Lord in glory. You will make this decision moment-by-moment, second-by-second, every single day of our lives. But we do start right now. And if that's your decision, I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I want a life that bears fruit for the generations. And would you stand with me? Father, we just thank you for these simple reminders as we not only study through Colossians 1, 9 to 14, but pray through it. And not just for ourselves, but for the generations to follow. We commit ourselves afresh for this very purpose. In Jesus' name.
Another great message from Dr. Jim Ceci. Today, we looked at two marks of the Christian life. A life that pleases God in all respects, and a life that bears the fruit of good works. But, as Dr. Ceci pointed out, living this kind of life doesn't just happen. We must choose to trust and obey. The question for us today is this. Will we choose a life that is all about pleasing ourselves, a life that looks like the world around us? Or will we choose a life that pleases God and bears fruit for Him? As we listen to this song by Lauren Daigle, called, Here's My Heart, prayerfully think about the life God is calling you to live. Tune in next week, and thanks for listening.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. I am found. I am yours. I am. Pure, I have life, I can.